Rites of passage, three of four, when the music's over. Again, grey waves of terror stabbed into Maltwell's heart. Again, glitter stirred to give answer. The figures were screaming as Graham's finger stroked the Smith & Wesson's trigger. It wanted to yield to the slightest of pressures. A hair-breadth distance was all. One journey of millimetres in exchange for another of fiercer significance. Graham stood statuesquely still, the lake lapping at the jetty around him, as he contemplated distance and the prospect of launching a second bullet into the night. In the ashen half-light, his eyes failed to separate the entwined figures on the shore, howls and sobs tangled as much as silhouettes. He peered down the length of his extended arm, over the buckle of his wrist, and down the sights of the gun. Despite keen pig-hunter senses, he could not pry a single identity from the huddle. Had his bullet found its target? His internal gyroscope was adjusting to being back on land. The journey from the Edenish shore to the habitat side of the lake took 2 hours of bobbing and paddling. His raft, a giant lily leaf, sat so low in the water he'd practically been one with its surface tension. Climbing onto the solid jetty had been something of a relief short-lived, for almost immediately, as if gifted, like a sacrifice to him from the Maker, he'd heard the voice of his target. Seasick senses still reeling, the hunter in him did not hesitate. One step, two step, raised arm, safety off, trigger depressed, and the night lit up to witness execution. On the grassy lake bank, someone fell, but retina burns and cordite stung his vision. One step, two step, the pontoon groaning beneath his weight. Closer now, still blinking, his vision returned and the night thinned. Before him, two women grasped one another. One step, two step, details and colour now made sense. Graham lowered the gun. Of all the animals he'd killed, nothing contained more blood than a pregnant woman. In Maltworld, glitter is everywhere. It is in everything hiding. A single mote lurking in the muddy puddles on a dirt track to a berry dangling on a bush. Just one mote, mind you. Nothing more. When summoned, the blades of grass in the meadows will yield up a single spark each. The leaks in the tree, a twinkle apiece. Insects and stones, cobwebs and dandelions, all a sparkle to volunteer. Though it is worthy to note, the lake, tens of miles long and countless fathoms deep, houses only one golden grain itself. Oh, but what a speck it is! And on this night, this horrible, horrible night, the golden grain rose from slumbering, watery depths to explore the awful change of melody the humans on its bank were making. For grey waves of terror were not welcome here. A fountain of crimson hosed from Zeke's sternum. A red pulsing plume telling Graham his bullet had shattered her aorta. The girl's heart was emptying with each spurt. Arterial blood as bright as a gun's flare glistened like varnish as it coated everything it touched. The shuddering girl's face, her lesbian partner's clothes, and the unreal red grass turning waxy and shining as it pulled around them. Her partner, what was her name? Carol? Kim? Something like that. Cradled the punctured girl, a wail escaping her lips as if she too were dying. Graham's thumb, slippery, slipped the safety on and holstered the gun. A forearm suddenly wrapped around his neck, a man's hand grabbing his wrist and twisting it behind his back. Don't you fucking move! Michael's voice was cold but unconvincing. Graham had already dropped him in his thoughts. Two easy sweeps and the pretty blonde fool would have been on his knees nursing a broken arm. But Graham didn't resist. Instead, he allowed Michael to think he was strengthening the grapple. Zeke was dying, taking with her the unborn thing in her belly. Maltworld's first nativity belonged to the Edenists. Tonight, Graham had dispensed divine justice. Natural justice would take its own course.